I don't trust your deep dive.
Let's give credit to the big fucking boss man.
God, you dumb bitch. Kick me in the nut.
To watch him beat the, you know, beat the shit out of their son.
Wouldn't it have been perfect if that ass took a dump?
Bunch of cocks hanging down on him.
That's not speculation. Look it up, bitch nuts.
And he's going to show her the real way to celebrate. It's going to be forceful. That doesn't age well, does it? Why? He tried to kill him. I asked you two fucking questions. And you're like, well, let's just give credit to the big boss, man.
A couple bodies of water. You talking about the ocean and the port-a-johns they had out there?
Oh, yep, it's the same. Yep, it's the same. Yep, it's the same. Yes.
Right. When he's missing.
Tried to kill him.
Yeah, man.
Hold her in front of her like a shield. I want to plow. Fuck Horace Grant.
Goggle wearing bitch.
Yeah, I hope he falls out of a fucking tree and snaps.
Meanwhile,
his
Mike Awesome's in there kicking ass.
He fucking took Ric Flair's face and shoved it in a farm animal's ass. I don't know.
Playing games with my heart. Baby wants some titty.
The Stinger.
Stinger. 69. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now! Do it now!
Shane, where are you? Fool me again, because you fooled me twice, and you don't fool
and
me.
And my wife, and my daughter, and my mistress are all gonna watch it, and Ted Turner, and you gotta squeeze the life out of them.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents...
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Bags.
Add some Kevin.
Still rolling with that.
It ain't going anywhere, bitch. Look at these eyes. Look at these eyes.
I see fear in those eyes, what I see.
Yeah, right.
Fear,
yeah.
Shame.
Fear because you just got a boner and you're gonna have to have a talk with your parents.
He's talking about fear in your eyes, man.
Oh, no, not in my eyes. You see lust in these eyes.
Oh, man, we made it. Today is we're going to be covering the end of WCW.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy about that. This has been a very long and trying run of episodes to try and get through.
Sure has. We're looking at the final week of the company here, which consists of two Nitros and a Thunder, primarily focusing on the Nitro, that's dubbed the Night of Champions, and the season finale. Vince McMahon had purchased the company in between the 2 weeks. It was like 3-4 days. I think it was the Friday before the last Nitro.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday or Friday. I don't know exactly, but
so everything happened very fast as far as negotiations and what have you. There were a couple of groups of buyers. Most, you know, famously is group that Bischoff was a part of.
Is that Fusion Media? Is that what
Yeah. And they had proposed a deal which would have included
TV time.
X amount of years of TV time. And that's really where the value of the company was.
Well, I gotta ask you this question because I've heard it from Bischoff before on, you know, obviously on Bischoff's show. And I've heard it from other places, but with their ratings were in the tank compared to what they were, but they were still, I believe, the top rated shows on the network at the time.
Right.
So realistically, even buying the company, wouldn't you go, well, I have to shop it to networks. Right? Like, wouldn't you buy it and then shop it to networks as opposed to being like, well, if there's no TV deal, why wouldn't you? It makes no sense to me. That's the one thing that has never made any sense to me, because if you're buying a property that already has you know, the best ratings on the networks that it's on,
right?
Why wouldn't you continue to buy that property and go, hey, you know, whatever channel X, this would be the best rated show on your network if you pick it up. It seems like an easy pitch.
I got an answer for you.
Oh, good.
When it appeared as if the TV deal the TV time was not going to be part of the deal on the Turner networks, Bischy contacted the Fox networks and he was posing as the president of WCW.
Right.
Word got out that he was not the president of WCW.
Oh.
And that deal was squashed. This was like, we're talking like Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
But there's a theory that there's kind of a conspiracy there because there were multiple other groups interested in, mm-hmm. in buying the company who would have paid significantly more than the was like $4 million Vince paid for it. So it sounds like the new regime, they didn't see a place for Nitro. And it didn't fit with anything else. Even though it was the highest rated show, but they're trying to do this rebrand thing, you know.
They didn't want wrestling in their catalog.
And here's the other thing. Like, ratings don't necessarily translate into revenue because they had a tough time selling ad space, which is where they get the revenue for the TV spot. So I think it was after... There was kind of like an all hands on deck meeting a couple weeks prior to when the company was sold, and they were going to have a meeting at the power plant on the Wednesday following what was the final Nitro, mm-hmm. because there wasn't any more dates lined up, and they were gonna meet with all the talent and let them know what they were gonna do. What ended up happening was it was bought out. They just had to get their shit and leave pretty much.
So. Get your shit, get out of here. Everybody's all excited, like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen today. This will be nice. I'm sure they'll have a nice buffet for us. And show up. You know where your bags are? Yeah. Good. Go get them and get the fuck out of here.
One of the members of the production team who was, a part of this massive layoff said that he knew that they were in trouble when Crockett's security key was disabled. It's a pretty good indicator. But yeah, so it was really a legit time of uncertainty with what was going to happen. And I got to ask you, I had stopped watching WCW at this time. Did you have any knowledge of this before seeing Vince doing the simulcast?
On the simulcast. So yes, I heard, I guess kind of at that point, it would have been more rumor mill stuff than anything else, because by this point, I was I would frequent 411 Mania.
Ah, right.
So back then, it was just 411 Wrestling. And so there was, I believe it was the week before, I remember reading the report that it sounded like, I don't know if it was a week before or 2 weeks before. I forget what exactly it was. But I remember reading the report of Bischoff and Fusion Media going to be the next owners of WCW. I remember, sitting in school, I believe, and just kind of reading through that and going, oh, okay, got it. And then it was not long after that that I had read the, and these are just rumor mill reports, so they're usually pretty vague. But remembering reading the report that there was a snag, but a new buyer was there. And then the very last one that I read, and I think it was on that Friday going into the weekend, was that Vince was angling to, or was in discussions, or, again, everything was very, not all that information was out there and as readily available as it is now. So I remember hearing about it. And I remember needing, in my mind, I remember going, well, I have to watch Nitro if this is the last Nitro compared to Raw, because Raw will be on next week.
Right.
And if this is the last Nitro, I gotta tune in. Because you always click back and forth, right? You get the remote back and you go, oh, commercial, switch it over. Oh, commercial, switch it over. But during kind of the latter days, it wasn't a switch it over for me, and at a certain point, I even stopped recording it on the VCR, because I was like, I just don't fucking care about this anymore.
So I got to ask you, you must have watched it live.
Yeah. Yep.
What was that like? I did not see it live, and that's got to be one of the, take it away.
So it was, just remembering watching it live, the opening of it, it was very strange. Like, it almost didn't feel like it was a real thing. Because Nitro opened with Vince on a Raw set, but it still had, the Nitro logo, like the water, I think it's called a watermark,
Right.
So it was so weird to see the way that it opened, and that kind of was the full on like, yep, it's happening. And then the other thing that I mostly remember about the final Nitro was when Vince walked out they did the simulcast at the end. Mm-hmm. And obviously Vince was there. They had all the different vignettes that were bullshit throughout the telecast. But when Vince was on Raw and on Nitro at the same time, I remember flipping back and forth. Because, part of me didn't want to believe it, I think, is part of it. And part of me thought, like, well, maybe something will happen on one and not, you know what I mean? It was just such a strange thing to be able to hit the recall button on my remote and go, yep, it's the same, yep, it's the same, yep, it's the same.
Right,
the same.
Right.
The only thing that was really changing was the watermark. So it was a wild thing. Just watching it play out.
Yeah, I never really thought that you'd see something like that. That was, as far as big moments in professional wrestling, that's probably right up there.
Right. It's almost like if you had playoff football games on the same network. Or not on the same network, but on different networks, but it's the same game. Being commentated by different guys. Like, it's just so, it was so strange to try and watch it, and part of me kind of felt bad for WCW, because I mean, I enjoyed WCW product for a long time, and that last, you know, probably 3 years, they just went so far in the dumper they couldn't get out of it. But like, I remember feeling kind of bad, because I was like, man, I'll never see this again. Like, this is it. And for as much shit as we've given WCW over the course of this run of episodes, they had a very entertaining product for a long time prior to this, and like I say, probably up until those last 2 years, you know, give or take, because those last 2 years is what was the death knell. Like that, right. That was the death blow. Those last 2 years and how horrible the product got. So,
yeah, it was on the air for about 5 years, I believe. There were 288 episodes, and it could be argued that the first 2 years is what propelled wrestling to the heights that it got. The Federation probably wouldn't have been, you know, pressured to pull out all the stops like they did, creating those new edgy characters, if there wasn't a new show to compete with, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll get some more thoughts as we go along with the episode here. But so this last show takes place in Panama City, but not at Club La Vila.
Is Club La Vila in Panama City?
I believe it is. I think it was actually being used for something.
Makes sense, man.
I think the previous couple of spring breaks they did at the Club La Vila, right? Because that was like their spring break thing.
That was their spot, man. You got to be at La Vila.
I mean, who can forget the Outsiders cannonballing into the drink?
The helicopter. Almost blowing old Bischoff into the worst acting job of all time.
Oh, man. Oh, I got a couple of fun facts as we go along here in this episode.
Good.
First one.
All right, this is number one.
You know the only guy to appear on every Nitro?
On every single Nitro?
Yep.
Wrestler?
It's a guy.
So it's Shivani.
It is not Shivani.
Is it Penzer?
It is Dave Penzer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be one of the two, because there wasn't a wrestler that jumped out in my mind that didn't take at least some time off somewhere along the way. Yeah,
I was kind of surprised to, you know, because I just assumed Shivani was there, but Bischoff was the initial guy.
Oh, yeah.
With Bobby there. So that's a pretty fun fact.
Penzer, huh? You think Penzer's written a book?
I'd probably read it.
He's got a good author name, doesn't he?
David Penzer, yeah. Makes you question if it's really his name.
Right, right. This book is was written by David Penzer. Whoa!
It's like Dusty Rhodes, you know. Sounds a lot better than Virgil Runnels.
Right. Oh, I'm Virgil Runnels. I'm David Penzer.
So we've done 16 pay-per-views.
Oh.
Some of the worst stuff ever.
Ever. Hands down.
And this is our... Well, next time will be the finale, but this is the last bit of material we're going to be covering. The final Nitro, son of a bitch, took place March 26th, 2001. So I'm going to give a quick recap of what happened between Greed and now, which was only a week. Not too much. You know, there's the fallout from the Flair and Double J and the Rhodes tag team match.
Yeah, all right.
The Rhodes got their revenge because, you know, if you'll remember, Ric Flair escaped the ass.
I do remember that.
So.
Wait, so on what, Thunder or Nitro?
Yeah,
They asked Flair?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But it wasn't. So Dusty's been he's going to town on another platter of burritos, but instead of kissing Dusty's ass, he's got a big white mule,
okay.
A farm animal.
Oh, an actual farm animal.
Yeah, an actual ass.
Okay.
From the farm. And,
gotcha.
And then so they shove Flair's face in the ass's ass.
Well, that's dangerous, man. Those things kick.
They do.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been perfect if that ass took a dump? it's unpredictable. Like, farm animals dumping is unpredictable. You never know, right? Like, domesticated animals, you can get a pretty good idea. Like, your dog will let you know, like, hey, man, I got to go outside, or your cat will go to the litter box. But, like, farm animals, just generally, they just let her rip whenever they want. So it would have been great if that ass would have just... Just drop, or even better, what if that ass got a bone? Ric Flair's got to take a donkey to Space Mountain.
Yeah, that occurred at the end of the Nitro right after Greed.
Okay.
And leading right up to that was Eric Bischoff on the phone. He made the announcement that, you know, this will be the last couple of shows on the Turner Networks. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was still, you know, like I mentioned, his idea of going to another network was still live.
Right.
But he was sounding pretty somber and defeated, though.
I remember hearing that that call.
Anyways, he says that, you know, he invites all the former champions to show up next week on Nitro. And I think the only guy who wasn't going to be there was Sting.
On the last Nitro?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, Bischoff sent out an open invitation to any former champion to, you know, because they wanted the last Nitro to be a big deal.
Right.
Stinger does show up, but, yeah, we don't see, you know, Hogan or Goldberg or, you know, any of those folks, obviously.
Yeah, I see a lot of them.
And at the end of his speech, he says, you know, I think it'd be in your best interest to fulfill your end of the deal and kiss Dusty's big white ass. And, of course, Flair is, you know, selling the outrage and disbelief and whatnot, but he got what he had coming to him, I guess.
I guess.
Okay, so Flair, on the last show that he was the acting president guy, which was Thunder, he was going to get his revenge on Dustin. So he had Dustin face both Big Papa Pump and the Chosen One.
Oh.
And he was defeated.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
This sucker kicks off with Vince McMahon. Imagine that.
Yeah. Goes back to he bought his competition. The fate of WCW is in my hands. He just holds his hands out there. What am I going to do with it? It's in my hands. It's like, come on, Vince. Do better.
I mean, last time around, wasn't the future of the company in Ric Flair's hands?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you think that they should have went back to the Classic Open?
Would it be in the last one?
Yeah. After McMahon's bit where they, you know, they play the music and all that, the video package and all that kind of stuff going into it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wouldn't have been, like, I don't know, if it's the last one, hit as many nostalgia chords as you possibly can. Give me the Classic Open with the, you know, the buildings exploding and all that kind of stuff.
They should have gotten rid of that. Maybe it was the logo that did them in, man.
The logo sucks.
Think about it. Before the logo, stuff was pretty sweet.
That was pretty sweet.
You get this weird-ass logo. It just went downhill. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah.
You know?
Would have been nice. Even like the classic, like obviously they're not going to put any money into the last show, but don't they got those, like the classic ring skirts laying around somewhere, or the classic the padding that goes around the ring that looks like flames? Like, it's got to be laying around somewhere. Give me those big steel fucking WCWs.
Bring them back.
Just bring them back, man. You have them. They're somewhere. Get a truck. Drive them down. Really, like, because that would be the way to really remember WCW Nitro, in my mind, is to implement as many of the classic things that everybody remembers about WCW right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's the last one, and we know that they're going to do this invasion angle and all that kind of stuff going out of it. So hit like all the nostalgia chords of the people that loved WCW at the time. You own the property, right? You own the property already. So on the last one, make people remember what they loved about it. You might have gotten a little bit more passion from the fans going into that invasion angle that they ran afterwards.
Yeah, it's just kind of the feel of a defeated company, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And they were a defeated company. So, but I agree. A little bit of effort would have been nice. They did get a ring situated in between this couple of bodies of water here, so it's not like they totally mailed it in.
A couple bodies of water? You talking about the ocean and the porta-johns they had out there?
How do you put fucking porta-johns right across from Hard Cam? Are you kidding me? Like, that's the first thing that you, like, they're hovering over, and they go to Hard Cam, you're like, it's a fucking row of porta-johns just sitting there. Get them off camera! Or maybe that was WCW being like, see, this place is a toilet.
Right, trying to devalue it as much as they can on the way out.
Right, yeah, you'll never see fucking porta-johns on Hard Cam at the WWF.
Well, Vichy, he did always shoot to be different,
yeah.
Right? That was a really, really bad Hard Cam, though.
And furthermore, it was a horrible Hard Cam. How do you have porta-johns on Hard Cam, right? The place is not, there's not a ton of people that showed up for this. It didn't look very, very full.
No.
But then you have those porta-johns. How do you not have a spot that incorporates the porta-johns?
Right.
They're sitting in the background the entire time, right? It's a fucking eyesore. And you're not even going to do anything with them? Move them. Get them out of there.
Opening this thing off proper, we got the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Comes out with the mic. We got some bros in the audience with WCW on their chests. And I made a note about, yeah, not a whole lot of fans out there.
No.
So a pretty decent, impassioned Ric Flair promo.
Yeah, he did. There was a couple misses, though. He said that they were running with him neck and neck for years. It's like that, not for the last couple. Or the first couple, either. So, you know what I mean? I understand the passion that he has, but he's also said in many interviews that when WCW closed down, it was one of the happiest days of his life.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's hard to buy into him, I guess, on that end. But when they start chanting Sting...
He joins
does
in.
Does he not know how to chant? There's a fucking cadence, Rick. There's a cadence, right? And the fans are going, Sting, 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 Sting. And he's going, woo, yeah, Sting, 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 Sting. It's like, that's not the cadence, Rick. That's not the cadence at all. And it killed the Sting chant right away because the fans are like, we can't keep up with you, Rick. That's not how we're used to chanting. Let's slow it down a bit. But then Drake's like, yeah, sting, 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 sting.
It was pretty funny.
Right.
Might be the highlight of the show. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he calls out Sting, his greatest opponent, to close this sucker out. They faced each other, I believe, at the first Nitro. And they faced each other at the first Clash of the Champions. Which went head-to-head with WrestleMania 4. Kind of a star-making performance for the Stinger! Nature Boy hits on a couple of points about Vince's daddy voting for him to be the NWA champ, and says he and all of WCW kissed all the girls worldwide and made him cry. And, I've read, too, that and heard in interviews that, like, he was... thrilled when, or more of a sense of relief when it was all over.
Right.
But, I mean, to deliver an impassioned speech like this, if you didn't know that, you would think that he's, you know, spewing the truth here.
Right.
He was one of the best. Mm-hmm. And we get a snap into a Slim Jim commercial, which was a nice blast from the past.
Fucking classic.
And we're going to start this thing off with Booker T and Scott Steiner just right out the gate. Title versus title. I mean, this sets a good tone, right? Last show, go out with a bang.
No, it's a mistake.
What are you talking about?
It's your two most important titles. And you're going to open the show with it?
You think maybe open it with Stinger and Flair just to have Sting come out?
No.
No?
No. Open it with your tag team gimmick, right? Then move into your Bam and your Meat. Because, I mean, those matches were throwaway matches for the most part. Then you can move into your tag team title match. Or, sorry, your WCW Cruiserweight title match. Your tag team title match. Then you can move into your world title match. And then close it with Stinger and Rick. But, the placement of all these matches, nothing really felt like it made sense, to me at least. And like, you want people to be pumped about it, but the only thing that I could take away from it is that if it is on a... if they are opening an hour before Raw opened, right? If they went 7 to 9 and Raw went 8 to 10, they want to get as many people watching that first hour, so they put on that United States... versus world heavyweight title match in that first hour, because they don't want people not watching Raw if they put it on later on, and you know, later on in the show.
I don't know. It looks to me on paper like they were trying to start strong and end strong with the card, and everything in between was just, you know, go out there, give us 2 minutes of your best stuff.
Right.
And it was some not really good stuff.
Good stuff.
But this first one had some decent action. We saw a little more variety out of Big Papa Pump.
He tried to kill him!
Well, we've seen some of those big suplexes, and, you know, he was a little more mobile than we'd seen him in recent shows.
Yeah.
But Book goes for the 10 count in the corner. He gets an 8. Before being gracefully placed down in a pee bomb. Was not slammed to the mat.
No. Well, we don't want any injuries here.
Last show, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
And Medeja gets involved. She hits a slap to Book. Pump's got the pipe. Swings and misses.
He tried to kill him.
Go with the bang.
Shivani's overselling that was so bad. Because Book was long gone when he swung the pipe, right? It wasn't even really close. And he hits the ring post, and Shivani just loses his shit. He tried to kill him! Fucking tried to kill him. Golly.
One of my favorite Scotty Steiner spots. He's firmly in control at this point. This is just a really condensed match. This match is like 5 minutes long, but they do a decent job of, like, you know, just hitting the high spots. And this match, the last match, actually kind of told a match story. Yeah. But I love the spot when Steiner, instead of going for a pin, has the ref count his push-ups.
That's pretty funny.
Just great.
I'll give him that.
Great heel stuff. I mean, we get that nice belly-to-belly, and T comes back hitting that ghetto blaster, which you... didn't much care for them using that term for. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
And then see a spin-a-rooney.
Can you do a spin-a-rooney?
He did a spin-a-rooney.
No. Can you?
Oh, can I?
You're right.
I'm going to need to be training for a little while. Right. Give me 6 weeks.
6 weeks you can do a spin-a-rooney?
Yeah, I'll do a spin-a-rooney 6 weeks.
What's 6 weeks? That'd be...
July?
We'll say Independence Day. So by Independence Day, I want to see you doing a spin-a-rooney.
What's in it for me?
What do you mean, what's in it for you? A sense of accomplishment? God, you dumb bitch.
The crowd's getting behind Booker T. They did get that right. They got pushing Booker T right. That might have been it.
Well, for the last two series of shows that we've done, how many times did I say Booker T was the best performer in the match? In how many matches?
I know you're a book guy.
I'm a book guy. Guy's fantastic.
He goes for the bookend, and Steiner reverses it into a Northern Lights suplex pin.
That was a really slick reversal. That was probably my favorite spot in the entire match, was his reversal into that Northern Lights.
He gets a two, and then he goes for another P-bomb. T gets out of it. It's the bookend for the victory, and Booker T is a double champion.
All right.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of a deep dive. Here's a little bit of fun fact number two.
Oh, all right. This. All right, fun fact number two.
So I was wondering about, you know, who was doing it first, the Rock or Booker T.
Yeah.
That part is unclear. However, Wrath was doing that maneuver before both of those guys.
Yeah.
So give it to Wrath.
Well, so you didn't really do that much of a deep dive to figure out who was doing the Rock Bottom or the bookend first. You just looked up the origin.
Man, give Chronic their due.
So, I'm just saying, you didn't... I went to go find out who was doing it first, Booker or The Rock. And I found out that it was Wrath. And I stopped my research. That's not a really much of a deep dive, man.
Well, I think The Rock did it before Booker T, but I'm saying...
Before that.
Right before that, he was the only guy who was doing that at the time. So,
but when did the Rock Bottom become the Rock's finish? Because that was Nation of Domination time.
Yeah, it was 97.
So it's got to be before Book.
Yeah, it's before Book.
And if it's 97, is it also before Wrath?
No.
How do you know?
I did a deep dive, man.
I don't trust your deep dive. If I could poke holes in your deep dive by asking simple, basic questions. You got sources? Did you do a Thea Holt report?
Maybe we should just give credit where it's due to the big boss, man.
Why? The big boss man wasn't doing it.
It was something like that.
It was not something like that at all. What the fuck?
So you're not buying my deep dive.
I think you just said you took a deep dive because you wanted people to trust your research. I asked you two fucking questions, and you're like, "Well, let's just give credit to the big boss man." Fucking why would we ever give credit to the big boss man?
You don't like that take.
No. Your deep dive was in the shallow end, man. You hit your head.
All right, that was a poor deep dive.
Yeah, so that wasn't even a fun fact either. You introduced it like, all right, well, I got this for you. Fun fact number two. So, I went to go find out who did it first, the Booker T or The Rock. And I found out that before either one of those guys, Wrath. And then I simply asked... Because Booker T, The Rock was doing it when he was in the Nation of Domination, which was before you even had Wrath in the mix. And then you just said, let's give credit to the big fucking boss man. Yeah.
You know what time it is.
Yeah, boss man time.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, a moment of silence.
All right, next up we get a 1-800-COLLECT commercial with all the babes and the bros on the beach.
Yeah, that's Ricky Ratman was in there, wasn't he?
I don't know who that is.
That was an MTV VJ.
Oh.
He was like a rock and roll VJ.
We got, I think Buffy Bags is out there, right?
I didn't see Buffy Bags at all throughout the entire thing, so I'm not sure.
It's spring break, baby.
Yeah, spring bake break.
Somebody said the babes love WCW. I got to believe that was Buff. Who else would have said that?
Good point. Could have been Buff. Right. I just don't remember seeing him.
Okay. All right, moving right along. Vince appears once again.
He's in his office.
Appears to be on the phone with an attorney. He mocks the venue that the WCW is having their finale.
What? Wait a second now. He appears to be on the phone with his attorney. You only see Vince. You don't hear who's on the other line. You don't see who's on the other line. Why is it an attorney?
I believe it's his attorney.
Okay. So he's on this on the phone with who you believe is his attorney. You know what I believe?
Huh.
There's nobody else on the other line of the phone.
That's probably,
that's a lot of speculation from you today.
That's probably...
I'll just give credit where it's due. Thomas Edison.
That was a Graham Bell, man.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Graham Bell?
Yeah, that was the phone guy.
You sure about that?
Oh, yeah.
What about Tesla?
He wasn't the phone guy.
What did Edison do then?
A whole bunch of stuff, man.
Who did Alexander Graham Bell first call?
Watson, I think his name was.
His attorney.
You can feel free to check my claims over there, man.
I think me crediting Edison's like you crediting the big boss man for the rock bottom.
I got a feeling this isn't the last we're going to see of Mr. McMahon. He shows up too frequently for me in this.
Yeah, he does.
But next up, we got a number one contender match, which you argue should have opened the show.
Yeah.
I can see that. We got the Filthies taking on the reunited three count. EK is back in the fold.
EK is back, yeah.
Right. Versus the Young Dragons.
Which kind of sucks.
You know,
Courageous Noble. I like Courageous Noble. This Billy and Ray team is fine for what it is. But the Dragons without Meow, I'm out. I mean, good team, right? Don't get me wrong, good team. But you got to have Meow.
Adds a lot.
Right.
Well, EK gets in there, hits a move, and proceeds to mimic driving the Cadillac right away. He's wasting no time to get his spots in. He goes for the same move twice and gets reversed by one of the Dragons, who then mocks driving the caddy. He's driving a caddy of his own.
Are you sure it was a caddy?
Might have been a Toyota.
Might have been a Toyota.
Right?
Because these are Asian fellas?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Man, you are something else.
I mean, this,
I was thinking maybe it was like a Rolls Royce.
I think he's... So, our guy EK, he rolls around in the caddy, right?
Yeah, you know how he does.
So, I'm, it looked like he was mocking his opponent, right?
Okay.
So
he's like, now
look,
I got
I'm
your...
Driving the
I'm driving the Cadillac, yeah. Check it out, now I drive the Cadillac. Where's my honeys?
No honeys. That's a miss. There's some honeys out in the crowd on the beach there.
Yeah. In the Port-a-John.
Oh, yeah. The Mysterio has them stupid horns back on his head again for the finale. He hits a big splash to the outside, which ignites a big chain reaction, and everybody's flying to the outside. We get a more twisting plancha, and then Kidman hits the shooting star press, and he seems to miss everybody. That's a spot we've seen almost every time.
Yeah.
One of these cruiserweight tag match happens where it just one after the other.
See you later. Yep.
At the very end, somebody gets to do one onto all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But back in the ring, Rey Mysterio and Yang battle it out. Yang hits the Yang time for the two count. What do you think of that? The Yang time.
The Yang time? What move did he call the Yang time?
This is a, the Yang time. It was a flying man of some sort.
Okay. I don't remember it.
Off the top rope. So no comment on that one then.
No comment on the Yang time. I don't remember the Yang time.
So Moore connects with the Famouser, and then there's a kind of a cool idea but sloppy delivery with the tag team move by the Dragons where it's like a suplex powerbomb combo that wasn't necessary to be a combo.
You know, I wrote down that it was a weird combo, but it was kind of an interest. Like, I didn't mind the move. It was strange as fuck, but...
The idea is to do the move and then have the other guy hit the pinning move, right?
Right.
Well, they did not get the pin. EK gets back in there. He's a nice 450. He's got a good one.
Yeah, he's got a good one.
Kidman gets in there, splashes EK over the top. Rey goes for that Bronco Buster. Didn't learn his lesson last time. He gets the boot right to the Buells.
Kick me in the nuts.
You notice that bald spot on Rey?
Well, yeah, the fucker should be wearing his mask.
This Cholo Rey doesn't do it for me, man.
Is that what it is? Do you think it's Cholo Rey?
I think that's the deal with the Filthies, is they all became Cholos.
Well, now there's an interesting thought. Maybe they should have just teamed up Rey and Conan, and they could have been the Cholo Boys.
They were part of the same faction.
Yeah, but it was suck, man. They had all those other Wangs in there.
Right.
Was it fucking...
Hoovy. Well, he had that Jabba. Overseas incident.
No, Jabba wasn't in there. Yeah, Hoovy was in there. Tigress.
Yeah, she was in there.
Yeah.
I think it was just the three of them.
That's what you do with the popcorn maker?
She's not here either. Yeah. I guess they just had the lady stay at home.
Yeah, all you ladies stay at home. Met her going to work. Is that fucking Oklahoma doing the show?
It's a guillotine leg drop, and the Filthies are the victors. They'll face Primetime and Kid Romeo later on for those brand new Cruiserweight Tag Team Championships. All right, you ready for fun fact number three?
Yeah, after fun fact for number two, you bet your baby balls I am.
Actually, this is going to be fun fact number three and four.
Oh, three and four. You're going to combo pack it?
All right. So,
these
were a couple of the last ditch ideas. One is a Bischoff idea. One is a Rusi idea. All right. So the Bischy idea, and he was dead serious when he's pitching this. He comes back in an on-screen character role, and then he's in a private plane that vanishes.
Okay.
So that was...
And then what?
Well, that was his big idea for getting, getting buzz and such, and, like, leading into something. But it got shot down because they didn't want to, you know... It's like, oh, we can't do that, Eric. Because... Wrestling occupies such a unique place, right?
Yeah.
It's a show, right? But their concern was that it's like an air traffic regulation thing.
Okay.
They were concerned about that,
All right.
About there being a legitimate concern about it. But so that was Bischy's idea.
So then don't put him on a plane. Put him on a ship. Nobody gives a shit about boats. You put him on a boat.
All right. And the boat gets lost at sea.
Yeah.
There it is.
Nobody fucking cares about boats. People are like, oh, I'm going on a boat. Why? You can fly there.
I mean, it would have tied in good with the spring break.
Right.
Right? Right on the beach there.
Fix that one.
maybe, you know, Bishy rolls into the dock on his boat. Yeah. To save the day.
Right.
That would have been something.
Yeah.
All right. And then fun fact number four, I shared this with you earlier. You'll remember that Meat was revealed as being Stacy's baby.
Yeah. And baby wants some titty.
So she was previously rolling with a I'm pregnant deal, and David was, you know, going nuts, beating up the postman, trying to find out who the daddy was. You know, he had the paternity test match.
Right.
So the idea was to reveal Rusi as the father of the baby, right? And then Stacy and David would eventually reconcile, you know, Rusi and David would mend the fences.
Yep.
And then it would be revealed that, in fact, Stacy was a product of one of the Nature Boy's many one-night flings.
Oh.
That's actually got a little bit of depth to it.
So then, all of a sudden, this baby...
They're...
Well, right. Yeah. Gotcha. Bloodline.
Yeah.
So that's dumb. But... It's an intriguing thought, I guess. I mean,
you like the vanishing aircraft, or you like that one? Or if you modified the aircraft to be a ship?
Oh yeah, I think that's way better because we kind of learned in with Vito and Reno and Sister Maria that incest that doesn't fly. So.
They made no attempt to really explain that, though. It was just 1 week. Well, maybe they didn't need to explain it. Maybe it was just that was just how they were living their life.
My sister's a floozy.
No, yeah, they were switching up the roles with that particular sibling love triangle.
Yeah, I would take Bish. I would take Bish on a boat. Definitely Bish on a boat.
Bish on a boat, all right.
Yeah.
Well, the filthy animals. We're going to see them a little bit later on. We get Vince yet again on the phone.
this bit made me laugh.
So Trish, she shows up with some bubbly. And he lays a big one on her. Oh, yeah?
That was the line that fucking got me was, you know, Trish shows up and all that kind of stuff, and he's going to show her the real way to celebrate. And then just starts smooching her.
Just goes in.
I didn't realize that was the real way to celebrate. You just start smooching.
Oh, and you're Vince McMahon, and you got, you know, Trish Stratus sitting on your couch.
Right, but then I was thinking, like, what if it was like, I don't know, a ladies' beach volleyball tournament? I'd like them to celebrate at the end.
McMahon style?
Yeah, it's the real way to celebrate.
Let me get a recap of the Sugar Shane Chavo feud. Is this a feud of the year candidate?
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem is that their first match was their best match. And they kind of turned in a couple of, I wouldn't say full-on duds after that, but the next couple matches didn't hold a candle to what they did in their first match together.
Mm. So Shane hits that go-to-sleep earlier on that doesn't even take Chavo off his feet. And CM Punk really put some stank on that.
Yeah, he stanks it.
So Chavo gets some offense in, and then Sugar Shane hits a big-time sunset flip. Now, you got to be honest with me here.
I'll try.
I'm taking that over the Johnny B sunset flip. You've seen this one. Did you watch the show?
Yeah.
You see,
I watched the show.
You see how impressive that sunset flip was? By Sugar Shane?
I saw the sunset flip.
So am I right then?
No. What's the imitation is the most sincere form of flattery? And who are they trying to flatter there? Johnny B.
Well, I'm sure he was flattered, but, I mean, That was an impressive sunset flip, man.
It was impressive, I'll give you that. But don't you ever say that it's better than Johnny B's.
This had, like, the... I'll have to go back and watch some footage on Johnny B.
You goddamn better.
But this had, like, you know, Van Terminator, like, distance to it. He made it almost all the way to the other end of the damn ring.
Well, their rings are smaller. I'll point that out.
And you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm fucking sure about that. I'm pretty sure WWE's got a 20 by 20. I think they do a 16 by 16.
Okay.
So.
We're throwing around a lot of speculation.
That's not speculation. Look it up, bitch nuts.
You're calling everything I'm saying just, you know, pulling it out of my ass material, so.
Well, you're the fucking one that said you went on a deep dive and then credited the big boss man with the rock bottom.
Think about it, man.
Size of the ring is not speculation. I'm pretty sure WWE uses a 20 by 20 and WCW was a 16 by 16.
What do you think of that Chavo T-Bone? Nice suplex. I mean,
yeah, it's not bad.
So they,
While watching this match, did you find yourself not... I found myself disappointed. Because that first match that they had was so goddamn good. And this one doesn't touch it. And this one isn't even as good as the last one they had. So, while watching it, I was like, man, they both can do so much better. This is kind of a disappointing match.
Yeah, I did make note of it was... I got the vibe of the way the show was going.
Yeah.
You know, with these, we're just going to do as much as we can because we got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
All these matches were short. Two, three minutes maybe. So a whole shitload of reversals happen, and then Sugar Shane delivers a really bad super kick, but he hits that devastating vertebraker, and he... Did he take that title over with them?
Yeah.
Like, as Shane Helms?
I believe so. I don't remember.
Huh. That'd be an interesting deep dive.
Yeah. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're gonna credit Tracy Smothers with the WCW Cruiserweight title. Fascinating!
I don't think he ever held that title.
Yeah, that sounds Smothers. Like we're speculation on your end.
So you go to Booker T in the back and says there's many more pages left in the book. If you want to test him, step like a man. Not a good promo.
It was maybe my least favorite Booker T promo of all time.
They've adapted this new, like, we're talking to this guy over here on the left.
Right. Like,
when they're doing promos.
Yep, they're talking to the guy on the left. And it sucks. And then the other thing that sucks about it, too, is that he says, let me tell you, and then he says, I'll tell you. And I think he says it 4 times in one promo.
Mm.
Yeah. And at one point he says, something to the effect of, like, now let me tell you this, Booker T has got a lot more to go. And I'll tell you, and I was like, no. You can't tell me 4 times in one promo. You get one, let me tell you, and that's usually Hulkster's line, right? Let me tell you something, brother. So you can give me an I'll tell you, but you can't give me 4 in one promo. It just seems like it bleeds together. So the only thing I really took out of that promo was Booker T wants to tell me something, and I'm not sure what he told me.
He told you don't hate the play, I hate the game, which I've never really understood as a... That's what he says to wrap up things.
Right.
It doesn't ever make any sense.
No, it makes no fucking sense at all. I mean, translate it to, I don't know, basketball, right? Horace Grant. You fucking hate Horace Grant, right? You hate him. Fuck Horace Grant.
Goggle-wearing bitch.
Yeah, I hope he falls out of a fucking tree and snaps his neck. So you hate Horace Grant. But because you hate Horace Grant, you're not supposed to hate him anymore? You're like, oh, the NBA's fucked. I fucking hate it.
I guess that depends on how deep your hatred is for Horace Grant. Right? If he just turns you off to the game of basketball.
Right.
Right? If he's the reason you turn the channel.
So Horace Grant's Vicky Guerrero.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense now. I understand.
Yeah, not a good promo. I'm guessing he was just very nervous because none of these guys knew. It was a pretty good bet that the world champion was going to be taken, and he'd been on a roll for the past couple years. But nobody really knew for sure
right. What
was going to happen. So I'm guessing it was just nerves. He was never the strongest stick man, but and they're really missing not having Gene or even Pam. Or even Buffy Bags is better than talking to the imaginary guy on the left.
No, I'll take the imaginary guy on the left over Buffy Bags.
Really?
Oh, big time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, Pam ain't bad.
Yeah, I'd take Pam. Next up, we got a tag team title match. Natural Born Thrillers versus Team Canada, and Major Guns is not there. This is like the all dudes brigade here. Right?
It is a dude. It's a dude brigade, yeah.
Sausage party.
Storm says, again, one of these lines that made me laugh just because, like, you know this is the last one, right? You know this is the last Nitro. And he says, last week we started a road and the road ends tonight. Well, no shit. Why even mention it, right? There's no reason to. He should have just said, it's cut it short and sweet, say, all rise to the playing of the national anthem, be done with it. Mentioning that last week, you started this road, right? When people say, like, oh, we started this road, it's usually a long and winding road. It's a laborious journey, right? With trials and tribulations, and you got to overcome all these things. But he's like, last week we started a road. It's over. Not a good, and I love Landstorm. Love Landstorm. That sucked.
I always get a kick out of his promos. You know, I get a little chuckle because of it's funny, the deadpan delivery. You know, I don't know if it was appreciated as much as it probably should have been, or as much as I appreciate it.
Right.
Like, I chuckled about that, but, I mean, and, you know, they didn't know it was going to be the end of the road until, you know, probably, I'm guessing Vichy talked to him after Lance's match, right? So he had no idea last week that this is going to be the end.
Let me give you fun fact number one from me.
Oh, you got facts.
Sure.
Theories. that's what they should be.
So I talked to my lawyer on the other end of the phone. No, actually, so they had the show written, the last Nitro written, and then it had to be submitted to WWE. So WWE looked at the show, rewrote the show, and sent them back.
Ah.
So they were, I mean, obviously planning on doing something different than what WWE had done, but yeah, they had written their last show, and then WWE had essentially said, nope, this is the show that you'll be doing. Which makes sense because they own the company. It would have been interesting to see what they would have done for their last show. I mean, knowing that their last show before this, they fucking took Ric Flair's face and shoved it in a farm animal's ass. I don't know if maybe they should have been that. I mean, knowing that it's your very last one, you get to be pretty open creatively because you know that there's not a tomorrow.
Right.
So it would have been interesting to see what they would have done.
You're talking about they as in
the WCW team.
Oh, do you think that part of the script is put in by WWF?
Yeah, WWF wrote the show from start to top or start to finish.
Were promos written by writers word for word like they are these days back then?
Back then, I believe there was still a fair amount of creative freedom in promos.
Yeah. I believe Storm's one of the guys that is brought over shortly after the invasion, so good for Lance. We go to a commercial, and then when we get back, we get Vince and Trish horsing around.
Yeah, Vince is going to be forceful. That doesn't age well, does it?
What else doesn't age well is Michael Cole's dyed blonde hair.
You didn't like that? You didn't like his frosted tips?
No.
No? Nah, what's that, like a Lance Bass move?
Yeah, that'd be... I'd buy that.
That'd be fucking hilarious if he went in there when Vince was like, how do you feel about your job security? And Michael Cole's like, quit playing games with my heart. I don't even know if that's the right band.
I mean, you got three count on the on his other show.
Holy shit. If they brought over three count to be managed by Frosted Tip Cole.
They had no idea what they were doing.
Nah.
It's so, you know, hindsight's 2020, man.
Right.
But, I mean, strange way to start off a tag title match, getting sent over to Vince.
And then we get sent to the commentary desk after that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was expecting the Canadian National Anthem to still be playing.
Right.
That would have been kind of, you know, funny.
Would have made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Jericho thing, you know, mm-hmm. where he was listing holds, you know, thousands of holds during the commercial break. But I couldn't help but look in the crowd and pick out a couple of signs. We got WCW needs La Parka.
Yeah. Yep. There's a guy with a La Parka mask on in the crowd.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Same guy?
I don't think it's the La Parka.
You think it's the guy?
A ticket.
You think it's the guy with the sign?
Could have been, yeah.
Hoping to get... You know,
now that would have been hilarious if La Parka showed up at the last Nitro with the sign that says WCW needs La Parka. That I would have given him a high five for sure on that.
There was also a put me in the ring sign.
Yeah,
that would be another one that La Parka could be.
Yeah, waving. Associated with, of course.
I mean, we got Plummer and Storm. They're going at it first. Plum hits a fallaway slam before being put in his place with a beautiful. Last of this season, Lance Storm super kick.
So the beginning of this match, like probably for the first at least minute and a half, 2 minutes, on commentary, it just seems like they're trying to get sympathy for themselves, which is fucked up.
Right, right. That was my next note here, is they're just talking about job security and how they're going to feed their families and
right. Tony's like, I hope you fans can understand this. And I'm like, fuck you.
Meanwhile, Mike Awesome's in there kicking ass.
Right.
No, I'm supposed to feel sorry for fucking Tony and Scott. Come on.
I don't feel sorry for Tony and Scott.
I have never felt sorry for Tony and Scott.
Not even once.
Well, Tony, maybe. Definitely not Scott.
Definitely not Scott.
So this is another, you know, 3 minute match. O'Hare gets in there, hits some move I can't identify on Awesome. Looks like he DDTs himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, it's not good. I couldn't identify it. I can identify quite a few holds, or at least kind of describe them, but best I can come up with is it looked like he was DDT putting
himself in DDT.
So Awesome's going for the Awesome Bomb. He's unsuccessful. And Plum hits the super kick. O'Hare hits the Shauntan. And we got another very short nothing match. The Natural Born Thrillers. Been plowing through the competition in record time.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Buffy Bags and Sexy Lexi last time. And
under a minute, I think.
Under a minute.
Yeah.
I got to ask you here. This next match doesn't seem like it belongs here on this night of champions. We get to see Stacy, the only gal that they kept.
Ooh,
good choice.
Yeah. Well, no, they kept Tori. Tori came over.
I mean, for this show.
Oh, this show, yes. Yeah, she's the only one that they, yeah.
So she introduces us to the Sean and Stacy show.
And it looks like somebody threw something at her, too. It was hilarious.
This is just a strange affair right here.
Yeah. And she does that, like, she goes, the man that rocks my world, and, like, you know, shakes her rump. the Mecca of Manhood, Sean the Star Stasiak. And it's, she's, I mean, she's pretty, but she hasn't gotten on the mic yet for me. And then this is what I want to ask you. The Mecca of Manhood, Sean the Star Stasiak, worst music you've ever fucking heard in your life.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It opens up with just some girl yelling, "Do it now! Do it, do it, do it now! Do it now!" And it has echo effect on. Like, what does she want him to do now, exactly?
Speaking of music, fun fact number 5.
Okay, fun fact. Well, answer my question first, Dick, and then we'll get to your fun fact number 5. Do it now!
Okay, it might be the worst entrance theme ever.
Okay.
One of the best entrance themes of WCW, at least, Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
Do you know what the two words that they say are?
They say two words in the actual Harlem Heat song?
Yes.
There's words in the Harlem Heat song.
Yep.
When they were Harlem Heat.
Yep. It's yes, 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 yes. No, 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 no.
No way.
Yes and no are the only, they're there, and they're the only words in that song. So I kind of like it less, but it's kind of a fun fact.
I'm going to have to listen to that because I don't remember any words in that song at all. Okay. Would it make it worse? If
it's not during the da-da-da-da-da, it's, you know.
Oh, the bump. Bump, 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 that part.
When you listen to it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You'll be like, how did I not, you know, hear this for the past 25 years? Because I thought the same thing.
Right. Now, so then I'm going to follow that up with, what if they, in the open of the Harlem Heat song, had, "Do it now!" Do it now! Do it now! Do it now! Do it now!
That could have worked.
Whose voice is that, do you think?
The Do It Now?
Yeah, the Do It Now voice.
I mean, you're probably supposed to believe it's Stacy, right?
You're supposed to believe that, but it doesn't sound like her, does it?
Nah.
All right. I just wonder who
maybe
it is.
Tigress? Miss Jones?
It could be Tigress. Now that you say that kind of in my head, I believe that it is Tigress. The Popcorn Maker! Do it now!
So
these props is like weapons! Do it now! It could be!
Man, so the Mecca comes out there and he demands the stick. Tells us to shut up, listen, and learn. Then Bam interrupts him. He's got this big-ass briefcase of tattoo gear.
Well, again, speculation.
We're led to believe it's
tattoo
gear.
We're led to believe, yeah. It's probably empty.
As the Mecca holds up Stacy in front of him, acting as a sexy shield. I mean,
a sexy shield.
Yeah, man.
Holds her in front of her like a shield. I want to plow.
So this is another nothing match. I mean, Bam looks to have an early victory after a top rope headbutt about 30 seconds into the match. Stacy provides a distraction. Bam gets the greetings from Asbury Park broken up by Stacy. We get a rude awakening from Meat and meets the winner.
Yeah.
This, I don't know why this was here.
Yeah, I mean,
really trying to further this storyline. <Come on. laughs> At least
so
all the championship matches, you finish the champion. You know, there's a winner.
Yeah.
This just stuck out like a fucking, you know.
And I know that Bam had bad blood with Vince towards the end of that whole their relationship. And I think Meat, he didn't necessarily, you know, have a lot of good things going on. So it had to be just to get Stacy time, because she's the only one that did. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that I can... The only thing in my mind, the logic adds
up to... That makes sense, actually.
Stacy's connected with Meat. We're not going to just put Stacy out there without the person that she's connected to, because that would make even less sense. So it would make sense just in the fact that Stacy's... Like, even Stacy's entrance and her promo had more time than the match itself. So I'm guessing it was just a way to showcase her.
Mm. That's a nice thing to do.
I'll showcase her.
Oh, yeah? Well, next we get Vince McMahon again. This time we got Commissioner Steven Regal. Asked Vince if he's sure about buying WCW. I mean, he's got a point. Do you really want this, Vince? I mean, I think for Vince, it's more just a victory, yeah. You know, conqueror type thing.
Yeah, the only thing that I enjoyed about that was how pumped Regal was about his WrestleMania 17 jersey yeah. That had the commissioner on the back of it. That was funny.
Yeah, nothing really great on this show. I mean, we got DDP. He's got talking about how it's been a long, strange trip, and sends out thank yous, and dream isn't over. Bang!
No, I'll give you this. Yeah, but he does. He goes. He like hits his chest twice, and he goes, bam, bam, bang. Which I don't know if that's like a heart thing. I'm not sure. But I got my fun fact number 3.
What do you got?
It actually might be 2. I don't know where I'm at my fun fact count. Do you know the number in the background of the boat when DDP cut his little thank you message?
There's a number.
There's a number on the boat in the back.
Like a phone number?
No. I'm guessing like some type of a rental number for like a rental boat, maybe.
What is it?
323-69. It's the only reason, like, he's trying to give me this fucking heartfelt message about thanking everybody and how he made it and his hard work paid off. And he just wants to say thank you to everybody, including Kim, his wife, and all this other kind of stuff. And in the background, I'm just going, 69!
I would have guessed 69. That would have been an easy,
yeah,
you know, some low-hanging fruit there. But
that was a very low-hanging fruit, but I grabbed it.
We get a montage of some of the former champions and greats over the years. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Just a little 30-second with, you know, kind of highlight reel. And we get another Vince segment. He's back on that damn phone.
Yeah, talking to his attorney.
Says it's just about that time. And now we got the Cruiserweight Tag Team titles on the line. Kid Romeo and Elix Kipper, the inaugural champions, defending that, you know, new and soon-to-be-defunct title against the Filthy Animals. We got Bischoff Subway is hiring. Another sign in the crowd.
It's not bad.
Yeah, they had the Subway logo.
Yeah.
They put a little effort into it.
I appreciate it.
So primetime, he's in there with Kidman first. Makes a tag to Romeo, who delivers a somersault splash from the top. This Latin lover guy does that fall-away P-bomb maneuver. What's your take on that?
I'm not really sure about that move.
I don't know either.
He just lifts him up and keeps going.
I wanted to hate it, but
Then you kind of liked it a little bit?
I was like, okay, is that really a devastating hold? Tough to say.
I guess I wouldn't necessarily label it as a devastating hold, but it's an interesting one.
We get a Ray chant. Nice to hear a little bit of crowd participation in this one. It's very minimal, but it's like we've been doing some shows where there's been nothing.
Right. Well, I mean, it's very minimal, but there's also like, you know, 400 people in the audience. So
yeah, true. I think had they had a little more time, they would have made it a more spectacular event.
Potentially.
Like, yeah. Vince bought the company on Friday, and this is on Monday. You know, so over the weekend, they figured out what they were going to do. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But what else we got here? Oh, we get that baseball slide to the junk. Kipper takes it again.
Followed up by the Bronco Buster. That's the only thing I wrote down this entire match.
Yeah, he's taken that twice, man.
So this match was a fun match to watch. The interactions were good. Like, Elix had some good moves. I decided I don't like Romeo at all. But, like, it was a fun match to watch. There just wasn't a lot of notes to be had.
Yeah, the only really thing of note that I have was Kipper does this unusual, like, electric chair suplex pin combo.
That's a good move.
I'd never seen that one. So, good on him. Well, Kidman, he hits a Kid Crusher, and the, second and final Cruiserweight Tag Team Champions, Rey Mysterio and Kidman, the Filthy Animals. We get the Stinger.
Stinger!
Last time, Stinger! You like the dangling bats?
I don't know. It looks like a bunch of cocks hanging down on them, but what I wanted to ask was not about a bunch of cocks, but
it's another fun fact.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe this is fun fact number four. So he says, the only thing that's sure is nothing's for sure, which I actually don't mind that line the more I think about it. Right, it's okay. But then he says, it's showtime, folks. Isn't that a Looney Tunes thing?
Pretty positive the Stinger's been saying that.
Here we go. Before the fucking Looney Tunes?
Not before the Looney Tunes.
Right, but I'm saying, like, isn't that a Looney Tunes thing? I know at the end, Porky Pig does the da-da-da-da-da-da, that's all, folks, but doesn't Bugs open up with its showtime, folks?
I think I've heard that.
Right. So fucking Stinger's taking his material from the Looney Tunes. Hilarious. Other thing is, it's the last Nitro, right? The last one. Nitro opened, right? The last Nitro. Wasn't Stinger and Rick, weren't they? Did they fight in the first Nitro?
Yep.
Why the fuck? He should have came out as Surfer Sting.
Yeah, that's my second note here.
Come out to the man's called Sting?
Yeah, that would have been a much more joyous occasion than that.
Yeah.
That depressed,
Yeah.
Depressing crow music he's got going there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine being sent off with the man called Sting.
Right.
And
he even won.
Pumped.
He's got enough time to get a haircut and bleach it. It doesn't take any time at all.
No. They get Vince walking through the hall, and then I think it's main event time.
It is.
We got the Stinger taking on the Nature Boy. Flair's out there. He's got the blue robe, and Tony suggests it might be the last time he ever walks that aisle. He's rocking the Nitro t-shirt, which looks weird.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, good to see Stinger.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with a couple of woos, and these guys, all these matches are, condensed, but these guys did manage to hit. They managed to hit most all their spots, in about a
five. Awesome.
They gave them like 5-6 minutes, probably. I think it was the longest match.
Yep. Still short. I don't think Stinger got the Stinger splash in. I think that's the only one that I don't remember seeing. He might have. I just don't remember it.
Mm. Yeah, we get, the trademark chops, the flare flop. He doesn't quite make it over the top for that, turnbuckle spot.
Yeah.
But
They did a good job hiding that, though, because he went for that, everybody knows the flare turnbuckle spot where he goes up and over and runs to the other side. But when he goes to go up and over, he doesn't get the over part and lands back down. Stinger grabs him immediately, puts him up on the top turnbuckle there, goes for the superplex, wraps him up in the Scorpion Deathlock, and that's it.
That's it. So the two legends embrace, and then we cut to Vince.
Who's walking up the aisle.
Vince had clearly just walked down the aisle.
Yeah.
Now he's walking back up the aisle. I believe he... he must have told Jillian to introduce him.
Jillian?
Isn't that her name?
Lillian Garcia. Okay. There was a Jillian Hall, but that's definitely Lillian Garcia. I thought it was funny, and that's why, like, originally before we started recording, I asked if you watched the Raw as well. Because that's what I wanted to know. Like, on Raw, did he walk down there and be like, oh, Rick and Stinger are going long. I told them 3 minutes, they're at five. I'll walk back on.
Yeah, I did notice that looked very awkward, so that's possible.
Very strange, yeah.
I mean, we got Paul Heyman and JR, they're on the call. ECW had been bought shortly before this. Was it earlier this year?
Well, no, this is 2000. Could have been the end of 2000. I don't remember I have no idea as far as when it actually happened. I just don't remember.
So this last 15 minutes or so is just Vince being shown on both Raw and Nitro.
It's he comes down, he does a 16-minute promo.
He probably deserves it.
Fuck that, man.
He won, man. It's his victory lap.
No. The way to celebrate is smooching. We learned that earlier. And the promo wasn't very good.
He's done smooching.
Oh, he's done smooching.
Yeah.
Gotcha. He opens up with talking about how it's like, you know, simulcast and all kind of stuff. And he says on TNN. So right out of the gates, I'm pissed off because that's a huge miss. You're not on TNN. And then he calls it, what did he call it? Turner? Oh, boy. He came up with something different than what it actually
Network
actually
television,
was.
I think.
No, because he called it TNN.
Turner News Network?
Something like
Maybe,
that.
I don't
like,
know.
Yeah, so he fucked that up. And then later on in the promo, he talks about the old saying. He's like, "There's an old saying, you know the old saying. They used to laugh at us, and there's an old saying. And the saying goes, he who laughs last laughs best." That's not the fucking saying, Vince. That's not the fucking saying. This fucking saying is he who laughs last laughs loudest. And I just started laughing in my head because I was like, I wonder if he's getting his fucking his material from Bushy. Was Bushy in the office at that time?
He was.
Because he was the one that there's an old saying. Fool me once. Shame. Fool me again, because you fooled me twice, and you don't fool me. Remember how he butchered that saying?
Yeah, you think Vince is
taking a rip? Maybe he's taking a shot.
It's possible
because the delivery was not far off.
Bushy had
delivery.
Been in office for about a month and a half.
Okay, so that his fool me line wasn't out there yet.
Won't get fooled again.
Yeah, fooled me once. There's an old saying, fool me once. Shouldn't have fooled me in the first place.
So this is the week leading up to WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. And so coming up at WrestleMania 17, Vince is going to be taking on Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince talks about parking his. At this time, Linda had what was her deal exactly? She was in some sort of a vegetable state.
Yeah, I think they call it a vegetative state. Not a vegetable state. She was in Idaho, right? Yeah, she was pretty much just, you know, loopy, comatose type of a situation.
Yeah, so his plan is to park his wife Linda in one of the corners to watch him beat the shit out of their son. And then he also wanted to park Ted Turner in one of the corners.
Right.
So, I mean, he's covering his bases here. He starts listing off all the guys. You know, you want to see Goldberg?
Bang! Hey! Oh. Yay!
I'm a big papa bomb.
Boo!
They did not want to see Hogan at this time, which is strange because give it a year.
Right. They wanted to see Hogan. Yeah. So they did. It was interesting, I guess. He listed off a lot of guys. I was surprised at how many guys didn't get like good. It seemed like Booker got a good reaction. It seemed like Pump got a good reaction. But outside of that, there was not a lot of cheering going on.
I made note that Bagwell got better ovations than Hogan and Luger. But
Bagwell.
I mean, that's not a bad technique by Vince, right? Like gauging interest?
No, he's asking the audience of Cleveland. That's one arena in Cleveland.
What's your point, man?
You're just going to ask the live audience? No, that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
Don't you want Vince to listen to the fans, man?
I give a fuck less. Fuck the fans.
He imagines lining up everybody from WCW and firing them. He intends to bury WCW.
That's what I do with my competition. I bury them. Because you got to grab them by the throat. And you got to squeeze the life out of them.
So, what happens next here? All right, give me your take on this. So, the No Chance theme plays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here Comes the Money was not his theme yet.
Right.
What's your reaction here?
So,
did Sound Guy fuck up? Is Vince leaving? You know what I'm saying?
When I first heard it, like, I remember this, you know, watching it live, I thought that Vince was walking out.
Mm.
And then Vince, obviously, you know, they show Shane. And the thing that fucking, even back then, I was like, God, this is just dumb. Vince goes, Shane, where are you? You can see him on the Titantron. In the WCW ring, you can see the microphone and the logo of the microphone saying WCW. And Vince, Shane, where are you? Like, he almost sounded concerned. After saying, at WrestleMania, I'm gonna squeeze the life out of him. And my wife, and my daughter, and my mistress are all going to watch it. And Ted Turner's going to be in a card or two. Shane, where are you? Fuck you.
Yeah, there's no consistency there.
No.
So Shane, he says, you know, a McMahon did sign the deal, but it was him.
The contract does read McMahon. Just read Shane McMahon. And just like in the past, he fucked that line up. It was hilarious. Just like in the past, you know, how WCW kicked your ass before, we're going to do it again, like in the past. It's going to be like in the future, but it's going to be it's going to be like it was the past, but it's the future. Remember that, Pop.
as poorly executed as this was, is this not the best cliffhanger ever, though?
It is. It is good as far as a cliffhanger. I just wish that they would have done so much different.
Right.
I mean, obviously we know now that's how the show ends, and actually clips to a sign off on the network that says good night, goodbye, and then underneath it just says satellite.
Yeah, that was strange.
Yeah, but
maybe that's a joke in the back.
It could be. What else do we put? I don't know. Satellites? Less good. one of the things that, like, watching this, they could have done so much. They could have done so many things differently in my mind as far as, like, cliffhangers and things like that. Having Shane come out is cool, right? And I thought that part was done good. And I actually don't mind the Shane bought it from under Vince. Like, I don't even mind that storyline. But when he walked out, it would have meant, to me at least, so much more if the locker room came out with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's out there alone.
Right.
Just showing that, hey, I'm a new owner and WCW like in the before when we were doing stuff in the past, remember? And then now in the future because we're going to kick your ass. But it's just him. So it shows no unity. So if he were to come out and the locker room was there with him, make it a spectacle, all these guys are there, and he says, we're going to kick your ass again, and all the WCW wrestlers celebrate, start smooching, I guess. Like, that is, that means more than him just saying, we're going to kick your ass again.
And being that the script is coming from McMahon, wouldn't that be just the ultimate fuck you at the end? Because most of those guys aren't going to be coming over.
Well, I mean, you know,
so there is that part where there's like very few of the guys actually do come over right away, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it would have meant more for sure, you know, but it, because all in all, it was a, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show, it was like you just got the vibe of a defeated company, you know. It was a pretty depressing show.
Yeah.
You know, from the WCW end.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, they rewrote the script. So Vince could have kind of done whatever did. He could have done what he wanted. Maybe he didn't want to improve the quality, leave WCW as an inferior thing. Who knows?
It could have been.
But, well, that's it, man. 5 days after the final Nitro, the final WCW program worldwide signed off for the last time.
Scott Hudson and Mike Tenay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At the time, it was the longest-running show in syndication. And 6 days after the final Nitro, Federation presented its most highly acclaimed event to date, WrestleMania X7. In front of 70,000 people and over 1 million pay-per-view buys.
Wow.
So that's...
I remember watching WrestleMania 17 hoping that I was going to see some WCW stuff. And the only WCW stuff that we saw was Shane going up on the second corner and pointing up to a skybox that had... I think it was just the Natural Born Thrillers in the skybox. I could be wrong, but those are the ones that I remember. Where I was like, what? They're just showing fucking Plummer and... O'Hare, like there, it wasn't like any of the big, like the big dogs, I guess.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
So right. That made me think that those guys were going to come out through the crowd, right? Like there was so much speculation during that time. That was actually a very fun time in wrestling because even though we knew that WCW was gone, like all of the possibilities that could be on the horizon were there, so it was a very fun time to be a fan, knowing like what they could do, what could be changing, what could be happening. Now, ultimately, the invasion angle had a lot of good, fun things. Like there was a lot of fun stuff that came out of it, hilarious bits out of that entire time, but it kind of ended up ultimately falling flat. So,
right. Well, I feel like we've accomplished something, right? We put ourselves through
what's been
like 9 months of, you know, watching the dying days of WCW. We got a recap episode coming up, and then we're going to preview where we're going next. Not quite sure where we're going next.
Yeah, you'll find out.
So, I mean, that's it, man. It was a
strong send-off.
I'm going to chop quite a bit out of it. Quite a bit out of this episode. But
do it now!
But we want to thank you for tuning in. This was I'm really looking forward to moving on to something else, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Right?
Yep.
Just give me, you know...
anything else.
Give me... Herb Abrams, UWF.
give me the dying days of the AWA.
That was on ESPN.
I know.
You can follow those episodes. Your man, living legend, I think he was the last AWA champion.
Larry Zbysko.
Fun fact six.
Fun fact.
You sure it wasn't the big boss man, you fucking nutbag?
Pretty sure it wasn't the big boss.
All right.
All right. With that, I'm Duke Bags.
And I'm Garrett!
Slide one in there.
Hey, that's my fucking line, man. You tell people to slide one in there. I tell people to slide one in there.
Say it.
That's mine. Remember the notes from way back? I said, slide one.
With the honeys.
You slide it in with honey. And I don't know if I can luck, I can luck. You want to know by now? Ha ha ha.